So let me set this up for you today. I need to give you the backstory. Reading from Mark chapter 5. It says, they went across the lake to the region of the Gadarenes. You know the story. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs. Verse 4. He had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart, broke the chains on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. This is the backstory. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he will cry and cut himself with stones. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. That is miracle number one. Jesus heals this man, legion. I'm setting this story up. Miracle number one. Miracle number two, Mark 5:21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. One of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him. You know the story very well, right? He said, my daughter is sick. I need you to heal her. So Jesus starts to go to his house. Miracle number two happens. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd, touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt it in her body that she was freed from suffering. Miracle number two, performed by Jesus. I'm setting this story up. Follow me carefully now. Miracle number three. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kahum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately she stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. Jesus performed three amazing miracles. The demoniac, the woman with the issue of blood, Jairus' daughter. And then he left from there. And now he went to his hometown. So I hope I've set this up for you, right? He went from there to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. He marveled because of their unbelief. Trick or treat, the power of Nosiba, Heavenly Father and our God. We battle against demonic forces. Help us to lay ourselves aside and focus on you and work in and through us today for Christ's sake. Amen. There are some things that are difficult to understand in the Bible. There are some things that contradict our theology, and this passage of Scripture just did. I've always thought that God/Jesus can do anything. You guys may not invite me back to preach after I'm finished today. I've always thought that nothing catches Jesus by surprise. That's our theology, right? I want you to follow me closely. Let's get straight to it. Because I was shaking when I looked at this message again. I said, I've been struggling with this for about 15 years. Jesus returns home after performing 3 amazing miracles that I just read to you. He shows up in his hometown on the Sabbath. He starts to preach before church folk. And everything went downhill from there. They said, wow! What an amazing message, but hang on a bit. Aren't you the carpenter? You are the guy who built our chairs and tables, aren't you? You ain't no healer. Follow me carefully. Church folk are very interesting people. I'm preaching about myself also. 3 miracles. He comes to his own people and he starts to preach on the Sabbath. And they said, wait a minute, you are the carpenter. But it got a little bit worse. And I bet you've never paid attention to this before. They said, you are the son of Mary. Now, I don't know if you caught that. There is no mention made of Joseph. Joseph is not your daddy. Mary is your mother. You are the son of a fornicator. You were born out of wedlock. You are the son of Mary, they said. In case you have forgotten, your father was engaged to your mother, and she got pregnant. Everyone knows the scandal. Can you imagine if this were to happen today, today when we have texts and WhatsApp and TikTok and Facebook and Twitter? Can you imagine, Sister Pam, some of the tweets that we would have been tweeting? Baby mama's son preaching in church today, LOL. Baby mama talking about healing, LOL. This is such a trick. This is like crazy, right? The Bible said they took offense at him. I'm only going to make 2 points today. Observation number 1. Be very careful what you believe or choose not to believe, because it will determine your destiny. Let me try that again. Be very careful what you believe or choose not to believe, because it will determine your destiny. Here is the evidence. God incarnate, Jesus Christ, the bright and morning star, the creator of the universe, he places the universe on hold. He comes to his own people, and the only thing they could say was, "You ain't no healer. You are the son of a fornicator." And based on that, Jesus couldn't heal them. Be very careful what you believe or choose not to believe. It will determine your destiny. Let me take a deeper dive. Let me talk about the importance of what I am saying today. Read John 3:16 again. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him." We are only saved by our belief. That is the greatest Bible scripture. Let me break this down a little bit more before I go back talking about what was happening here. The Greek word for belief is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And the Hebrew word is pistio, meaning firm conviction, firm persuasion, assurance, faithfulness. We are saved. Miracles are wrought. We change our lives. We end up where we end up based on our belief system. If you tell me that this building is on fire, and I believe it, I am going to run out of this building. If Bob Jefferson, notice I didn't say Alan, I said Bob Jefferson, tells me that I need to come by tomorrow for $100,000, you better believe tonight I will be camping out at his house waiting to get that money, because I believe. When I read this text and why I've been struggling with it, how is it possible that the creator of the universe could not heal people? Jesus failed to heal. You know how medications make it to the market? They have an experimental group, and then they have a control group. Follow me carefully. And then they give the new drug to the experimental group. That's the treat, right? And then they give a sugar pill to the control group. That's the trick, right? And then after a certain time, they wait to see if there is a difference in efficacy in the medication. And if this experimental group seems to be doing better and is statistically significant, then the drug goes to approval to the FDA and so on and so forth. However, researchers discovered an amazing thing. This placebo group, they noticed some people actually improved. In fact, some drugs don't make it to the market because these people over here improve so much, there is no difference between the real drug and the sugar pill. And then the researchers realized the difference was based on the people's belief system. What am I seeing here? Your belief system will determine what happened to you. When Jesus approached his own town's people, they said, "There is no way We are going to believe in what you have to say to us. We know your sisters and your brothers. And then they began to name them. When we manifest doubt in the power of God, there is nothing God can do for us. Henry Ford once said, if you can or you can't, either way, you are right. Sometimes we don't excel at our jobs because we don't believe that we can. Sometimes we don't lose the weight because we don't believe that we can. Sometimes we don't overcome certain sins, not because God is not at work in us, but because we don't believe that we can. Be very careful what you believe. You know how the fate of this world was altered? Lucifer came to Eve and said, did God really say that you shouldn't eat that fruit? That's how our world changed. The fate of Israel changed because of 10 men's belief system. They said, we cannot go over and conquer this land. Success or failure in life depends on your belief system. I usually tell my young people, because you fail fifth grade, doesn't mean you can't pass sixth grade. Because you've been a high school dropout, doesn't mean you can't make it to college. I said the last time I preached here, if I had believed in my GRE scores, I would never have entered graduate school. Your belief system will determine what happens to you. Jesus comes home, and people are suffering. Cancers, demon possession, drug addiction, prosecution, prostitution, and Jesus cannot heal them. How crazy is that? 3 miracles. He comes to church folk, his family, his cousins, and he can't heal them. Your belief system will determine what ultimately happens to you. I learned something about the lion. The lion is the king of the beast. But the lion only hunts 2 hours a night. That's it. The elephant is bigger than the lion. The rhino is bigger than the lion. The lion is not the fastest animal. The cheetah is faster than the lion. The lion only hunts for 2 hours. Yet still the lion is the king of the beast. You know why? It's all right in here, when the lion approaches a prey, he behaves like a lion. He roars like a lion. He pounces like a lion. And he gets the success that he's looking for. When Jesus comes in and they said, you ain't no healer, there is no results. And I thought about this. Why am I failing at certain things in my life? Why am I diabetic? Why am I obese? Why am I praying the same prayer every single day and I get up and I fall back into the same sin? It is because I don't believe that there is a God who can help me, just like these people I'm seeing. You ain't no healer. Watch your belief system. You know, it doesn't matter. Here's my belief system. It doesn't matter how many times I've been knocked down. It doesn't matter how many times I have failed. I believe because I serve a God who is all powerful. No matter my circumstance, I'm going to keep trusting in God, even if I can't see the evidence. I know He is working things out for me. I've learned my lesson from these people over here, and I am choosing to believe in God. Watch your belief system. The bumblebee is not supposed to fly according to the laws of physics. It's not supposed to fly. The bumblebee doesn't know how to read. It gets up and it flies anyway. You know, before 1954, no one could run a mile under 4 minutes. It wasn't possible. And then an English man named Roger Bannister, he trained and he practiced. And he ran the mile in 3 minutes and 59 seconds. But that's not the amazing thing. After that, more than 1,300 people, including high school students, have done the exact same thing. You know why? Because they believe if God says this blessing is for me, I'm claiming it. I don't care what you say. God says this. God says I can overcome this temptation. I believe it. And that settles it for me. If someone gets pregnant out of wedlock, don't give up. Keep believing that if God says salvation is for you, salvation is for you. Be very careful what you believe. And here's my second and final observation. And this one is very interesting. The people who are most likely to mess with your belief system and destroy it may be the people closest to you. Can I say that again, Debbie? You sure? Because I'm going to break it down. Be careful what you ask for. Pam, you may get it. The people who are most likely to mess with your belief system and destroy it are the people closest to you. His own people. The village people who knew him so well. They said, we know your family. We know your brothers. When you go home, read that passage of scriptures again. They began to name every one of his siblings and his sisters. They were the people closest to him. They knew that Joseph was not his father. What am I saying? When you surround yourselves with negative people, people from your own household, they can destroy you forever. I told you about placebo. Now I need to tell you about nocebo. I don't even know if such a word exists, Sister Wright. I have no idea. I just made it up. Nocebo. Maybe it does exist. Nocebo works in the opposite way. And here is how it works. You know, when they did those clinical trials and they told the people who got the trick, like the sugar pill, that you may experience diarrhea, headache, vomiting, stroke, seizures, blah, 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 like you see on the TV commercials? Guess what the researchers saw? People who took the sugar pill began to report some of those same symptoms, even though they did not have the real drug. Jesus couldn't heal sick people because of nocebo. Nocebo, I'm going to make a statement now, is more powerful than the power of God. Let that sink in for a minute. Nocebo is more powerful than the power of God. If you believe that God cannot heal you, he can't heal you. Jesus said, I can deal with a demoniac. I can deal with a woman with the issue of blood. I can even raise someone from the dead. But I can't heal someone who does not believe that I can heal them. And this is frightening to me. You know why it's frightening to me? Because if I begin to doubt, and I maintain doubt, God cannot work with me. Let me give you a biblical example. Judas. You know Judas performed miracles, right? Then Jesus sent out the 12. You know Judas performed miracles. But Judas was never converted. Judas was in it for the money and the fame. And when he realized this stuff is really not working out for me, nocebo set in. And Judas said, I'm going to go and kill myself because this is not for me. Be very careful what you choose to believe and what you choose not to believe. Nocebo says, God wants to help me, but nocebo says, I need to lose some weight, but I've tried so many times. I've tried Noom, I've tried Weight Watchers, I've tried whatever, so I'm just giving up. Nocebo says, don't try again. I am hooked on my favorite sin. Nocebo says, why try again? It's not going to work. That's the power of nocebo. Do you know how high fleas can jump? A flea can jump 21 feet. You know how they condition fleas to not jump 21 feet? They put them in a jar and they close the lid. And the fleas jump, they hit the lid, and they fall back. They jump, they hit the lid, and they fall back. And then they unscrew that lid, and the fleas jump, and they fall back. They jump, and they fall back. That's the power of nocebo. If you choose not to believe, there's nothing that God can do for you until you allow him to come in and change your belief system. That's why when Jesus was about to heal the guy, he said to him, do you believe? The guy said, Lord, help thou my unbelief. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Keep believing in God.